Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B.
Everybody, and welcome to the RHAP B&B for Survivor David versus Goliath. I am Mike Goliath in Bloom, talking about the preseason of Survivor 37. Another Survivor US season is upon us. It's been a really fun summer filled with international seasons. We are back to take it to the land of opportunity for who has the opportunity to take home $1 million. It's been a while since I've done one of these intros for Survivor, so as you can tell, I am rambling, but that is no difference to how I usually work. Let me just bring in these people so they can shut me up. First, the co-owner of the B&B, the lovely Liana Boris. Liana, how are you?
I'm great. I like that this is the land. Is this the land of opportunity? No, this is where things go to die. I am beyond excited for this season. And I think it has to do with the fact that I am totally in on this cast. I cannot wait to talk about everything. Although I have to say, if you are Goliath and Bloom, am I your David? And then does that make you Jessica Lewis? This is all very confusing to me, but I think we maybe by the end of the season can sort it out.
Paul Osleson, I know you are very methodical. You're our head writer, after all. Can you draw out a rough whiteboard like Jeff of the Cambodia finale as to who is what and how does this tie into the Why Blank Lost, our sister Survivor podcast here on Rehap Ups?
Yeah, I feel like much like a David, I'm going to have to fight through a lot of this podcast to figure that out, because that's a little bit too complicated for me, because all I've been thinking about is, where does Krampus fall in all of this? David or Goliath?
I mean, he's pretty Goliath-like. I mean, he's used to winning, right? I mean, you're the one that knows the myth more than I do.
That's true, but I mean, he doesn't beat the kids, and I feel like, you know, Jeff Probst, anytime someone's like a fighter and does some beating or throwing some punches, that somehow makes them a David every time. So that's where I'm struck. I mean, I feel like the preseason stuff and anything you get with Jeff, we've kind of learned you can pretty much make anyone a David and you can pretty much make anyone a Goliath. So, you know what? I think you should self-select, Liana. What are you? What do you feel like you are?
I think I need BuzzFeed to help me out on that one. I'm excited to take the quiz to answer whether or not I am a David or a Goliath or maybe a Krampus thrown as the other answer. I only analyze my personality based on quizzes that I take online, so.
Very, very healthy of you. So
Thank you. Let's
talk about this. Let's talk about Survivor David versus Goliath. At the time of recording this, the cast dropped. About a few weeks ago, I got together with Rob the day it dropped to talk through our basic, you know, first impressions of the cast and a couple of twists that were thrown in that I'm sure we're going to be talking about over the course of this podcast. I know at the time of recording this, we also very recently got a drop of Nicole and Rob's requisite cast analysis, first one out, has also come out in the past couple weeks. So we have some preseason fare to get into. I want to start with a point that you made, Liana, and we'll get into more details, obviously, over the course of this podcast. But what are you thinking about the Davids and the Goliaths, considering what we know about them so far?
Okay, so my overall impression on the cast is that everybody is actually really interesting. And I know that sounds bizarre, right? I mean, there are people who are cast on reality TV. They're supposed to be interesting. Everybody's supposed to have a story. But I feel like the diversity of the cast, both, you know, in age, in background, in race, really just makes everybody so unique and gives everybody an interesting story. And even the people who, you know, like Alec, for example, who looks like he maybe was plucked from the Jersey Shore, really going for that Pauly D haircut. Yeah, is he my favorite? No.
I was going to interrupt you and say, yes, the cast is super interesting. We have so many interesting people, and we have Alec.
But you know what? He plays a part on this season. You know, we talk about, I don't want a season that is all super fans. I don't want a season that is all recruits. And so having really a good diversity to the cast, I think is just so important. And I cannot wait to watch these people interact with each other. I'm just freaking pumped.
How dare you malign Alec Merlino? I know for a fact that his social media is extremely interesting.
That's right. Yes. So, well, okay. Maybe we should talk about this because I completely forgot, not to go on a little bit of a tangent, but there was, as Mike was referencing, a post on social media. I believe it was Alec that posted it, and Kara K, I think, was the other one who was in the picture. And they posted on social media before they're supposed to. So Survivor was like, oh my gosh, you know, maybe they're going to get fined like $5 million or something. And I think Alec actually ended up getting banned from the reunion mm-hmm. as a result of this. So yes, he's, you know, even he brings his own drama. How exciting.
I like how you said they would be fined $5 million. Because I just love this idea of like, all right, Alec, for, you know, doing this, you owe us $4 million, even if you won the show.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I don't know. You know, it's one of those just threats. Also, because I think, you know, how much money do we think that this man has in his bank account? I highly doubt anywhere close to $5 million. But
clearly he was super boring on the show. And that's why he had to make something online, was to get some more attention. So I think that confirms the fact that he is the most boring cast member.
And I'm also pretty sure that if I recall reading his bio, and I think I talked about this on the podcast that I did with Rob, I'm pretty sure he said, like, I have $0 in my bank account right now. So,
yeah, that $5 million may be a little bit of a stretch there, Liana.
Well, maybe he had $5 million before he broke his NDA and had to pay Survivor some sort of fee. We don't know.
Hefty fines. Paul, what are you thinking about this cast overall?
I mean, echo everything Liana said. I think the age factor is a lot better in this cast. You don't walk away from this cast like, oh my God, these people are all so young. So even the people in their 20s, most of them are 25 or older. So I think that I'm just very positive based on how Big Brother went this summer and the way casting went with that. I'm just really hopeful that that carries over into this season because I think that this looks like a really, really good bunch of people with a lot of different background. So I'm really excited to dive into this with both of you.
Yeah, to that point, it's interesting in that I do agree that I think from an age and a, you know, ethnicity perspective, very, very diverse, especially again compared to something like Ghost Island, who, while I enjoyed that cast as people, they definitely skewed towards those 20 something, you know, beach body types. And so I'm happy that we sort of have explored people from more walks of life. It is really interesting that if you look at like where everyone comes from, it's all California, Texas, Florida, New York, and then like a couple of other random states thrown in there. So I guess, you know, when you're looking at something at the outset, something like geography might not necessarily matter to the story of a person. Because I could even argue that like Carl and Elizabeth, for example, who both come from Texas, are two completely different people with two completely different stories.
Right. And then when you talk about California people, sometimes it's like, hey, how many of them are actually real California people? Like, if we could look back at Cook Islands, I remember when that came out, it was like, oh my gosh, 70% of this cast is from California. And so I don't think California people necessarily equates to the diversity in geography because so many of the Californians that end up on the show do hail from somewhere else originally.
Well, and I think also because a number of people have followed their career, they've ended up moving to a number of different places. So like, you know, even though, let's say, I think Jeremy, he was one that grew up in South Carolina, I think, and now he lives in New York. So, you know, even though, yeah, sure, he's New York City, he still has a sort of interesting background in where he came from.
Well, we'll certainly get into more individualized thoughts on these cast members as the B&B progresses. Before we get into our usual fare, I want to bring up once more that we will be doing our sealed predictions for this season, aka the Liana Wins game, where for those of you that might not be aware of it, myself and Liana are going to, over the course from now until Wednesday, write down what we think each person is going to do on the show and how they are going to do. Then when that person is voted out, every week we're going to read what we wrote about them preseason. Liana, are you already... How many bottles of wine, I should ask, did you buy in order to prepare yourself for these preseason thoughts?
Ooh, so I haven't come up with my strategy yet for how I'm going to write these. I was thinking maybe I would let Alexa write them for me. I thought about just sort of like, you know, when Twitch played Pokemon, sort of crowdsource it and we'll see. I just really want it to be an even playing field, Mike, for you.
Oh, wow. So. Oh, thank you. I mean, you were definitely, Liana, you were questioning your identity before. You were definitely a Goliath when it comes to this game, and I'm definitively a David.
Well, right. And I can never go back to being a David. So,
as the show's official or unofficial head writer, I'm not sure which, I do have to issue the statement that, Mike, you refer to this as the Liana wins game. We actually prefer to refer to it as the Mike loses game. It more emphasis on Mike sabotaging himself rather than Liana actually winning.
Look, so I'm going to try my best to not self-sabotage, which is difficult to say considering my just general proclivities in life. But I realized that when we were doing the Big Brother stuff over the summer for the B&B, that, you know what? I think I am better at reading fan fiction than writing fan fiction. So, Liana, I would love to see what sort of creativity you bring to your predictions this season, whether it be Alexa, Twix Plays Pokemon. You could do put in a bunch of different predictions into a robot and have it write something like it did for those Olive Garden commercials that I saw on Twitter that one time. I think I'm going to take the format that we used in the Big Brother one, though, where I'm going to write like three or four bulleted things that they might do in the game. I think I definitely shot myself in the foot, particularly with, the ghost of Patrick's Alliance has, is nothing compared to the Chris Noble Chelsea Townsend showmance that I created for Ghost Island.
Yeah, no, it really is the Mike sabotage game, because you just write paragraphs upon paragraphs. I think I just wrote one that was like the most generic, simple one, and somehow ended up beating you because you just go on and on and on.
Mike, you need to go a completely other direction. Just say, she gets voted out. He gets voted out. He wins.
You know what? I'm gonna have Rupert write them. He might not be on Twitter, but I'll see if I can reach out to him. He might still be traveling around the world for one reason or another. But maybe that might be the best way to go.
Well, so, okay, if you're going to write them, right, if you're going to follow some sort of, you're super into literature of mice and men. And so I think if you are going to write it, just follow the C-Spot run format. So it's like, See Angelina play Survivor. See Angelina get voted out of Survivor. And I think that's really what you got to stick with. That is your key. You're welcome.
Ooh, two birds with one stone, because I also teach basic sentence structure to those who are checking this podcast out.
And how fun is that for us to listen to?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I was riveted just listening to that. Very as exciting as you guys think of Alex prospects right now. So that's just, I'm putting a pin in that. We'll see how we each prepare our remarks. But I am ready for some revenge, baby, to quote the Outcasts of Survivor Pearl Islands. We'll see if that actually plays out. I want to get into this cast. Let's talk about the cast through something that we've been doing the past two seasons here on the B&B with our preseason podcast. Let's talk about some superlatives. So we've come in here with a list of some superlatives, and based purely on our preseason views of these people, we are going to try to predict who is going to be the most likely to do whatever activity or have something happen to them on the island. This is yet another one, Liana, that I feel like is always fun to revisit when the season ends.
Oh, yeah. It's always so fun because most of them are wrong, but every once in a while you have one that you are so spot on with, and it's like, oh my God, I'm a genius. I'm the most brilliant person in the history of ever. And it doesn't matter. Everything else can be completely wrong. I think you, Mike, most likely to flip. Laurel. Brilliant.
On the money.
On the money. No, this is always a lot of fun. I can't wait to go through all of this.
Well, let's get into it then. We're going to start with a pretty traditional one. Most likely to find an idol. Paul, of these 20 people, who do you think is most likely to find an idol?
Well, you know, Mike, there is actually an alternate spelling on how to spell idol, and it's spelled P-A-T. And I just think that Pat is like, gotta find an idol. He was the reason this theme exists. He is like the family man, hardworking, blah, 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 blah. I mean, if he does not find an idol in the first three episodes, I will be shocked.
I would actually be not surprised if all of a sudden, like, one of his tattoos is an idol. Like, somehow, oh my gosh, what? The palm tree?
For the first time ever, the idols have been predetermined. They are tattoos on the contestants' bodies.
We partnered with Ink Master on Paramount Network to tattoo idols on people.
I'm just picturing like that scene in Second Chance where Jeremy like goes off to find the lanterns. Like, you know, he follows that lantern into the woods or whatever. But there's just kind of like a little tattoo parlor set up, like kind of like a tiki hut tattoo parlor. And so you actually have to get a tattoo. in the middle of the night.
So if you use an idol, is there like, okay, Jeremy, step into the laser machine and they'll remove the idol from you?
No. Will Kirby comes out and he removes the tattoo at Tribal.
Yeah, I don't know if you get to keep it. I thought it was already a tattoo on him. I mean, considering that Pat was the guy that apparently this entire season was based around, you know, I thought maybe there would have been some inspiration.
I'm seeing a lot of tattoos visible in these CBS photos, so we're onto something.
I mean, he does already have an immunity necklace, considering he has that, like, necklace tattooed around him. So maybe... I don't know. I like this tattoo idol idea because you could also do fake idols by taking like a Sharpie and drawing like an idol on your skin.
You know, it's like one of the temporary tattoos. And then you get up and Jeff Probst like rubs it off and is like, this is not a hidden immunity idol.
That's the official test. Is just like he just like dips. He just licks his finger and like runs it down you.
Yeah. Oh, man, this is brilliant. All right. We should write this one down the next time. You know, we need to come up with some Survivor ideas.
All right, Liana, who do you think is most likely to find an idol?
Yeah, okay, so I think Pat is a good person, but I really think that Nick, we could see out there looking for idols. I know, you know, he is a super fan. Also, you know, numbers don't lie. We have a tendency to see more males find idols. And I feel like he seems very aware of his surroundings, could be looking for potential clues. So I could see Nick finding an idol out there.
I could see it. I'm just worried that Nick is too focused on getting his slingshot ready, as we've seen from the myriad Survivor promos in the past couple weeks, that he might not be able to find an idol, you know, divide his time equally.
How has he not found it by now? I've been seeing those promos for weeks. So gotta go get my slingshot. All right, buddy. Actually, that would be really fun. If we do not see a challenge that involves a slingshot, I will be very upset.
Yeah, maybe they should do that instead of like the physical contact challenge. They all stand up on a balance beam and you have to like fire not rocks, but like beanbags at them to knock them off the balance beam.
To fire rocks at each other. That's very TKO of you, Mike. But I would be down for it.
I mean, Kevin Hart did make an appearance at the Ghost Island finale, so there could be more, you know, cross coverage, even though that did film before this. Who knows? Who knows at this point? Time is a flat circle.
Well, I don't know this because I stopped watching TKO because did you guys know it got moved to Fridays at 9 p.m.? I think its share was like 0.3 or something ridiculously low. But anyway, because there could be a contestant on TKO that's now in this season of Survivor. Maybe Pat was on TKO. I don't know. I feel like I'll get out my tinfoil hat. I'll work through this later.
I just imagine Kevin Hart being like, come on, tattoo man. Watch out for the big spiked balls.
Exactly.
Well, for my pick, I am going to go with Carl, just because Jeff Probst said that Carl, one of the things that he really liked about him is that he has this don't give an F attitude. And I'll give a bit of a spoiler for this season of Australian Survivor so far. So tune out for the next like 30 seconds. If you don't want to hear it, Paul, that might mean you as well. I don't know if you've caught up at this point.
I'm pretty caught up. I'm okay.
But it's very, I could see Carl doing a very like Shane Gould like maneuver where he knows there's an idol hidden back at camp. He'll walk in front of his allies, grab the idol out from like under a tree and just like put it in his cowboy hat and walk away.
I could totally see that too. Don't fuck with Carl Boudreaux. Yes. I like that idea because of that attitude, but I also feel like that's the same attitude that will lead him to not care to look for idols at all. So it could go either way. I don't know. I think I put my money on either Pat or Nick.
Yeah, I mean, it could cut both ways. We never know as well. There's going to be a bunch of idols hidden, I'm assuming. And also this idol nullifier. We'll see how that turns up. And who knows, if Carl finds an idol nullifier, he might just not give an F and decide not to use it, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, do you think he'd go home with it in his pocket?
That's a good question. We didn't have that as a... I guess we can put this as a subtopic. Do we have any picks as to who would be most likely to go home with like some sort of twist in their pocket, whether it be a idol nullifier, legacy advantage, etc., Paul?
I mean, just based on the pregame stuff, I just feel like maybe someone like a Jeremy who's kind of, you get the idea, very confident in himself and very feels like he knows what he's doing, would be someone who would maybe be someone to go home with that in his pocket. But other than that, I don't know if anyone sticks out.
Do you think having an idol nullifier in your pocket when you go home, do you think that's going to have the same stigma? I feel like no one's going to care. We're like, oh, okay.
Well, I feel like that's be really, like, you know, so you're saying if they go home with a, well, I feel like if you went home with an idol nullifier in your pocket and the regular idol took you out, then that would have the same level of embarrassment. But if not, it'd be like, eh.
That's a perfect use of, like, the final words of this person. Like, oh, I didn't use this idol nullifier. Heh. All right, off to Ponderosa.
How do you hashtag that? I'm not sure how you spell that, but...
H-E-H.
Yeah.
Hashtag, huh?
All right, well, let's move on here. Actually, very nice segue into our next topic here. Most likely to get a hashtag.
This isn't my first podcast, Mike. Anyway, continue.
You're very much a Goliath, Paul, when it comes to that. Liana, who do you think is most likely to get a hashtag out of this group?
Okay, I'm actually really proud of this one. I think it's going to be B, because I think it's going to be hashtag sting like a bee. Ah.
I feel like it's going to be hashtag easy as hashtag ABC, but it's going to be like ABIC.
I think you guys trust way too much in CBS marketing to come up with these hashtags.
They came up with hashtag coffees for closers, so...
Well, I agree with you in the fact that the bee's name is most likely to, like, fit into random hashtags, but I actually disagree with that. I do not think that she'll be interesting enough in the show to warrant that many hashtags.
Okay, here is what's going to happen. It's going to be her boot episode, because we're not going to see her for, like, three episodes until it's going to be her boot. And she's an MMA fighter, so definitely we're going to get a line about, like, flow like a butterfly, sting like a bee, hashtag sting like a bee, B-I. I think it's written, done, deal.
Maybe you should write your predictions using
possible.
You should write your predictions using, like, the hashtags that will show up on the screen for when they sort of like what we did with the superhero names in Big Brother.
Oh, that's actually not a bad idea. I'm gonna write that down.
All right, Paul, it seems like you are anti-B on this one. Who do you think is most likely to get a hashtag here?
I just think we have to, if I'm doing the most likely here, I'm going to pick someone for sure the show wants to highlight, someone who's been on a reality TV show before, someone who is a writer, as someone who is a comedian. So it's going to be Mike. I mean, I just feel like he's going to give them gold that they're going to want to use and stuff that will easily transfer into a hashtag. So that is my prediction, is Mike.
Yeah, I feel you. I went with someone who the show wanted on there. He was on reality TV. He is not a writer. But I mean, John Hennigan, a wrestler, is on the show who is all about, like, delivering sound bites for a promo. You'd have to believe they're going to milk some hashtags out of him forever how long he's on the show, right?
Well, yeah, hashtag mayor of Slamtown, right? I mean, I feel like
Sultan
that was already
sexy,
set in first one
Wednesday,
out.
Wednesday Night Delight. There was one particular like turn of phrase that he used that really got Josh going. I know I tweeted this out, but I think the first one out was really fantastic because I think it really highlights this great cast. But the highlight for me, honestly, might be Josh becoming enamored with John Hennigan, because they kept cutting back to him several times. You could hear Josh is just, like, so giddy and besides himself. It's so fantastic. But he calls everyone douchebags, turd cutters, and chump stains.
Yeah, it's like he's a writer for the B&B. How do we get this guy?
He's most likely to get a B&B hashtag, that's for sure.
Seriously. Oh, man. I'm super excited for John. I mean, you know, do I think he's going to win? Probably not. But he really entertained me on First One Out. I mean, I get it. It's his job. But the fact that Josh was definitely enamored with him, I think my favorite thing that Josh said was, or you could be the mayor of Slamtown. I like the idea that there's this fictional place called Slamtown. Maybe that's where the B&B is.
Ooh, coming to you live from Slamtown. It's RJP B&B, because we like to slam the contestants, apparently, if your name is Alec.
Yeah. And then the, like, sign for our town can, you know, it's got the population sign. It'll be like three turd cutters.
Are we all turd cutters? Have we?
I don't know.
What? Liana, what makes you a turd cutter?
Jeff Probst, well, I can see it now.
Speak for yourself, Liana.
So, Paul, as a turd cutter, how do you feel?
Again, I do not self-identify as a turd cutter. I'm a podcast Goliath.
Mm-hmm. Now, Paul, as a douchebag, how do you think voting tonight is going to differentiate yourself from the chump stains?
I don't know, Mike. As a pain in the ass, what do you think?
Well, that's not too far from John's other theme, which is what, like, artists, academics, and assholes?
Yeah. Yeah, oh man, he's gonna be so much fun. I can't wait.
Artists, you guys are known for your creativity. Academics, your brains make the world work. Assholes, God, you guys just suck. All right, you want to get to your challenge?
Yeah, well, I think it was Jeff Probst in the first one out, you know, talking about how the Goliaths responded to being called a Goliath. Can you imagine? Be like, all right, so tribe asshole.
Hey.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, CBS says we cannot say asshole. We need to say a-hole.
Team a-hole.
Oh, boy, that might make things worse. All right, let's move on here. Let's go to the opposite end of the spectrum. Most likely to get a purple edit. Paul, who's purpling this season?
I think for me, I have to just go with the person to me that in the preseason is the most mysterious to me that I've like gotten the least from. And you guys both know this, but I have been without a phone for the past like over a week. So my podcast listening has taken a quite a bit of a nosedive. So maybe this person is a huge hit on some of the podcasts, but I feel like I just don't really know that much. Don't really understand who Natalia is. So for me, I'm going to say she's my most purple. She's on the purple tribe. And in the preseason stuff, I don't really fully understand her.
Hmm. Liana, do you feel like there's an impression that everyone's just sort of like, okay, Natalia?
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily think she's going to get a purple edit. I think she was the one on First One Out who sort of got maybe the most negative first impressions from some of the other cast members. You know, I think people are probably a little bit intimidated by her. So I don't think she's necessarily going to get a purple edit. People have made sort of the Gonzalez comparisons. To her being, you know, a little bit maybe boisterous and louder. And she describes herself, I think, as confident, charismatic, and blunt. So I don't think that really fits with somebody who has a purple edit necessarily. I said Kara. First of all, purple bikini. So, you know, obviously. And then also, she was the one who broke her NDA. So, you know, if you're a producer, you're trying to get back at her.
Oh, good
give
call.
Her a purple edit. Exactly.
Good call.
And, you know, she was a person who was on Survivor, not as JP as JP, but, you know, she wasn't someone who really stood out to me as going to be this really dynamic, strong character on the season.
No, the JP award has to go to Pat, right? With his all the you knows he threw into his talking with Josh.
Yeah.
Or Carl with man pulling like his best Judd Sargent impression and putting like 75 mans in his conversation.
Yeah, man, you know, I don't know. Yeah, that could be a little brutal. We'll see how the editors choose to maybe edit around those ticks.
So I put B in there, the opposite of hey. Sting like a bee. That stinger's out. Just because I thought that like I think that she has a compelling story, but I wonder like if she's just known for her physical prowess, I wonder how much of a storyline can be associated with that, considering that like even someone like Chelsea, who won two immunities, they didn't really carve out a storyline for her. But I ended up going with Jessica just because I know Jessica is the youngest person out there. But I don't know. I just feel like she's her edit might be more of a Will Wall than a Michael Yerger. If we're talking about other 18, 19 year olds, where like she seems totally nice. And I like the fact that she's like a super fan in disguise and how, you know, she feels like she's mentally older than she actually is. But I don't know. Something just tells me that with all the shenanigans that are going on in the David tribe, I don't know if Jessica will sort of be the top of the heap when it comes to content.
No, I think I'm more on Team B just so that I can also support Liana's hashtag theory and have some kind of hashtag that's like hashtag be seen, not heard or something like that.
Carry a bee stick. Nope, that doesn't work. Carry that bee stick. It's like speak softly, carry a bee stick.
You're gonna ward away bees somehow.
I don't know.
Yeah, Liana, you are definitely a David.
Okay, maybe by the end of this podcast, I can become a Goliath. For me, Jessica Pete, actually, if you're, you know, we're going to talk about comparisons to younger castaways, I think she's more of a Julia Sokolowski. And maybe it's just because, you know, they're young, blonde women. But I think she will, you know, is somebody who probably is, you know, wiser for her age, but is still young. And which is given. I mean, she's 19 years old, right? Like, this isn't a negative against her in any way. But I just think she's definitely going to fall more in sort of that side of things. I could see her maybe getting a little bit of an edit later on. But yeah, will she really stand out as a dramatic character? You know, I think that's probably not going to happen.
All right, let's get into this next one. I'm really excited about this one. Most likely to flip, because I'm going to peg someone right now. I might stake all my predictions in this on this one. You gotta go with Devilish Davey. Look, this man has promised to be erratic to even his own allies. I am very excited for Davey because, listen, I'm happy to be wrong and he, you know, excels in the game. But I am predicting a pretty fun flame out for Davey Rickenbacker. Because it just seems like he's going to be very flippant and very chaotic, which I always have fun with. So I see him flip-flopping at least like 3 times pre-merge, personally.
Well, Davey's the newcomer, right? He was the replacement?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that him? So he probably does have his, you know, fire under in his belly that he's going to, you know, go out swinging. So I could definitely see that.
Yeah, so spoiler alert, he was actually my answer as well, because he's describes himself as erratic. Who's, you know, if you describe yourself as erratic, I feel like you could also just say, oh, yeah, duh, most likely to flip. And as I watched more and more about him, I was like, OK, somebody needs to give this guy a Xanax, like calm down, breathe. Like, I'm sure, you know, he's super excited. He got the call 60 hours ago to whatever to go out and play Survivor. So maybe a little bit of that will calm down once he doesn't have food for a little bit. But I could totally, totally see him flipping. So I did say him, but I guess in the spirit of picking somebody else, I think I'm gonna go with Natalia. Actually, I think that people, what, why is that funny?
I don't know, I just like how she's like the star of, like Paul said, she's not gonna do anything, and then you said nope, she's gonna flip.
Yeah,
yeah, she's just trying to, this is like Liana, just like a big F you to me. Thanks, Liana.
Such a chump.
Oh, and actually, I want to change. I think actually most likely to have a hashtag, because in Big Brother 9, you had a contestant named Natalie, and she went by hashtag Naughty Nasty Natalia. So I think that's going to be a hashtag here. I think she's going to be a huge character.
And as someone who's had a phone for the past week, I just really feel like Natalia is definitely going to play.
Atlanta had a phone in one hand and a bee stick in the other one.
As someone who's up to date on every podcast that's been out in the last week.
So, Paul, as someone who lived under a rock for the past week, how do you... No,
As a rock, we had rock dwellers versus tree dwellers.
Okay, please tell me, why Natalia? Just because people don't like her?
Yes. Yeah, I think she's going to be a little bit ostracized by her own tribe. And so I think if she is someone who's able to make a swap or make the merge, I think she's somebody who, you know, could flip against her original quote unquote alliance or tribe mates to go where the grass is greener.
Well, maybe let's compromise. Okay, here's our compromise. Natalia flips, but the show doesn't show it.
Okay, that's how we get. And no one gets a hashtag.
I like that, because then like they'll be like, oh, that vote was 7-4. Who else flipped? And you just see like Natalia turn over a vote, like, oh, I guess she did.
Yeah, ooh. Right. Ooh. Sorry, who?
Paul, did you have one?
So my pick was going to be Nick, just as someone who knows the game, involves the online community, and, you know, just someone who understands the game and hopefully realizes when a really beneficial time to flip would be.
All right. Well, let's move to the other side once again. Least likely to flip. Liana, do you have a candidate here?
Okay. So I really like...
Natalia. I think it's Natalia.
It's definitely Natalia. This is me just hedging my bets. If I say Natalia for everything, definitely I'll get one right. So I actually, John was somebody who, you know, I know he flipped people professionally for years. You know, he's somebody who kept preaching loyalty. He said he's going to be loyal to the people that he's loyal to, which I think kind of makes sense. That's how that works. He's somebody who I think, you know, is going to find a strong alliance. He's going to stick with them. They may turn on him, but I don't think he's going to flip on them.
Paul, how do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, I definitely did first gravitate to a lot of people on the Goliath tribe, looking at someone, people who just are kind of like confident in what they do, and they just seem like, you know, upstanding citizens and people like Natalie and like John, and characters like that. But I think I'm actually going to switch over to the David tribe and say Elizabeth. I just feel like Elizabeth, she got inspired by the show back in season two, and I just feel like her mentality is not going to change from that. I think she's very, she's a religious person. She's a very like moral person. And I can see her not flipping on some, for some moral reasons.
See, I had that thought as well initially, but I remember that I think, like Jeff said, that she loves, you know, three things in her life, you know, her ranch, her family, and Survivor. And I wonder if she sort of comes in with that super fan mentality, and not say she's a super fan, but more of like a hardcore fan, if that makes a difference, mentality of like, well, you're not playing Survivor if you don't make this move. So I wonder if she, you know, I could see a scenario where she might be resolute, but I could also see a scenario where she's like, I'm playing Survivor. I got to take advantage of this. YOLO or YOPO, you only play once. And so she decides to flip and possibly, you know, screw her chances later on.
I do think she compares herself to Big Tom. So we know what a dynamic game player Big Tom was.
Listen, for a while, Big Tom had the record for most number of dates played, so we can't fault him too much.
That's true. You only play twice. Yo, put.
I ended up going with, I went with David as well. I went with Lyrsa, because I, similar to what you were saying about John, Liana, I know Lyrsa had been talking a bit in one of her videos about how, like, you know, if she makes a friend with somebody, she's going to stick with them until the end. She's very much about loyalty and honesty. So, I mean, I think she has a really, you know, striking personality and a look as well. But I could see her as someone who will, like, solidly be someone's number two and maybe not necessarily cut them, even if it's most viable.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I think that that actually totally makes sense. I think she is somebody who is very fierce. And in the same vein, will be fiercely loyal. So I could see it.
The fierceness cuts both ways. All right, let's
hashtag Fiersa Lyrsa.
Ooh, yeah. You're writing Liana's predictions for her at this point. All right, let's move on here. Most likely to get medevaced, Paul. Hopefully, we do not get a visitation from Dr. Joe this season. But if we do, considering the horrible weather they face this season, who's most likely to fall here?
Well, other than Natalia, I think I really gravitate towards someone like Davey, who just seems like, if he's erratic in all these different areas that he talks about, maybe he's also like a Mike Scoopin or a Boo from Fiji, where he just runs into things all the time that hurts himself. So that was my first inclination. Other than that, I don't know that there's that easy of a target, because you don't have a super... I mean, I guess Mike is... Maybe Mike, because he's older? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I was actually thinking sort of along the similar lines of either Mike or Christian, because their eyes are closed, so they're just going to run into things.
That's like the Mr. Magoo theory.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, because they couldn't find a picture with their eyes open, I think is the joke. So, yeah, that's what I went with.
Yeah, I had a couple of options here. I said that B would kick a log, pull a Gandia, and get medevac for, like, breaking her foot. I also said that Allison might do like a personal checkout. She might be like, I don't think I'm too well. I did a checkup on myself, so I'm going to check myself out of the game.
Hashtag kick a log like a bee.
As they're known to do.
Keep workshopping that, Liana.
All right, let's move on to our next one here. This is a fun one. Most likely to get blasted on Survivor social media. And listeners, I absolutely love you, but I think you all can admit that during the season, things get a bit frenetic in the internet, and they're liable to, you know, really heap the criticisms onto certain people. Like Kellen really got it last season in Laurel. We had Ryan get it the season before. I know Zeke has gotten it before, too. So based on all that, Liana, who do you think is most likely to be on the end of the B-stick of Survivor social media?
Well, I was thinking about what all of those people have in common, and it's if they're least likely to flip, I feel like something. So I'm going to go with Natalia. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I really had a hard time with this one. It seems like, you know, it really could go any which way. I feel like Carl is somebody who I can see them either loving or hating, right? Either they love the fact that he doesn't give an F, or they hate the fact that he doesn't give an F. Mainly because, like, maybe that's how I feel, and I'm definitely a creature of the subreddit. So maybe I'll go with Carl for my answer. Paul?
I think for me, you talked a little bit about Allison the first time you kind of brought her up, Mike, in the last question. And Allison has a lot of Candace vibes to me. She's, you know, a doctor from North Carolina, has kind of her stuff together. And I can just see her being someone who for some reason, because I think she's so put together and I think she's going to be confident in what she's doing. If she does something that the online community doesn't like, or she's not with the people that people online want her to be with, then I can see maybe people, taking out on her.
And ironically enough, Allison wants to be an oncologist, and Candace once called someone rat cancer.
Actually, I really like this answer, because I think also, you know, she was the person who, if I remember correctly from First One Out, had a lot of pushback to, you know, the Goliath moniker, mm-hmm. where, you know, she was like, well, I work so hard to be here, blah, blah, blah. And I could see that not necessarily playing all that well.
I sort of hedged my bets here and went with someone who I think sort of unfortunately fits the mold of some of the other contestants that have been, you know, raked over the coals before by the internet. I'm going to, and I hope this isn't the case because I really like him, but I'm going to go with Christian here, just because I feel like Christian is someone who is brave enough to, even in First One Out, he put out a bunch of like his own theories about the game, which I know when you do that is sort of ripe for discussion and picking apart by the internet populace. And especially if the show decides to lean on him a lot for things like narration, I could see something along the lines of like, we don't need to see Christian. We already saw David Wright, Cochran, etc. We don't need to see this again.
Like if he gets whatever the opposite of a purple edit is, like way too much exposure.
Instead of ultraviolet, like an infrared edit.
Infrared at it, blasting you in the face. Okay. Speaking of Sudoku Sam, so Inside Survivor released pictures, press photos from the first episode. There is a picture of Christian. He looks like a cast member from Lord of the Rings. I swear to God, he looks just like Samwise Gamgee. Like he's got his some sort of maybe pants or sweater thing like wrapped around his neck, and he's got the like the hobbit hair. I was shocked by it. I'll tweet it out later.
Now, Paul, The Lord of the Rings is a series of films that came out in the early 2000s. Do you know about this?
I was going to say, what's a Lord of the Ring?
How dare you?
All right, let's move on here while, you know, the our listeners are taking a break to go to Inside Survivor and see how Christian is making the David camp look like Hobbiton. We talked about transitioning from David to Goliath. Who do we think of this cast is most likely to go from David to Goliath or vice versa? Which, again, it's still up for debate as to whether that streak goes both ways, but let's...
Jeff says no.
I know. We'll see. Maybe they can change the game in that regard. Maybe they can teach Jeff that a Goliath can become a David. Paul, I'm assuming then by that logic, did you go with a David that would hopefully become a Goliath?
I mean, had I known the other one was an option, maybe I would have said that Natalia will go back to her rightful spot as a David. But no, I went the other way around, and I was a little bit hopeful for, I can see someone like, this is what I'm hoping for, someone like a Gabby, who, for me, it's like, if you look at Christian, I feel like Christian is like a true nerd. And I think Gabby's just way more of like the Aubrey nerd. So I think what I'm hoping is that someone like Gabby, like, it really proves that she actually is kind of a boss at this game and is really super socially good and stuff like that. And so that by the end, you know, that she really comes into her own as a Goliath. But who am I kidding? It's probably going to be Pat.
I think if anybody is going to make the transition, I think it's going to be Alec, but probably not to a David either, to, you know, I don't know, the no collar tribe, I think, is really where Alec belongs. So I think if anyone's going to make a transition, it's him.
So you're saying that Alec will transfer not only to a tribe this season, but a tribe from a completely different Survivor season?
Yes.
All right, we'll go with it. I had a couple of options here. I was thinking B at first, because I could see, again, someone who honestly might be the most like physically adept for Survivor right now. I could see her dominating the challenges, which sort of makes her a Goliath. But I'm going to go with the Goliath in bloom here. I'm going to go with Hot Cop Dan, because I could see something where, like, again, Jeff's sort of talking about how he is, finding his self-esteem and sort of becoming this new persona now that he lost a lot of weight and obviously gained a big social media following. But I feel like he's also just such like a down-to-earth, relatively normal guy for being this social media sensation that I could see him, you know, maybe deferring to the Davids, or maybe he sort of gets lost in the shuffle and other people sort of dominate him in the game. I just feel like if we're ranking people based on like Goliath-like status, he might be at the bottom of the Goliath tribe, so he's most likely to sort of fall off there to the other end of the spectrum.
He's on, I keep forget. Wait, he's on the Goliath tribe?
Yeah.
Ah, oh, see, I keep forgetting.
There we go. See, that's furthers my point.
Already made the transition.
So you cut down my points, and then you, like, subtly feed into Mike's points. I see how it is, Liana.
This is a long con for me. I'm here to play.
To be fair, my opinions are turds, and she's a turd cutter, so that's just her natural process.
Well, what were the other names? Butt Muncher?
No, that's what the Scott wrote about Bradley, so you were close.
That's just in your head. That's just what you're
thinking. Yeah, that's the B&B version. It's Butt Munch versus 69 versus Slam Town.
Versus Shambo.
Versus Shambo.
Oh my god, actually, okay. So, I was going back through, whatever. So, there was an exchange that Bradley had, and I don't know if either of you remember this, but I wanted to bring it up because I thought we could maybe make it a superlative, but then I forgot. So, there was a woman who posted on Bradley's Instagram who said, "You remind me of my son before he left." And then Bradley said, "Thanks." And then the woman said, "It wasn't a compliment. He went to prison." And so I didn't have time to think of like most likely to be told that they're like someone's son, but for a bad reason or something like that. But I didn't completely flush it out. So I figured I would really just work the wheels on it on the podcast, which is such a better place to really think through ideas. Yeah, really versus preparing beforehand.
Build the plane as you go is how we do it on the B&B.
That's right. I'm
before
not
before he left, where? Where? To go serve our country? Where? To go to the Peace Corps? Where? No, went to prison.
You went to prison. Don't drive the bus. I build the bus. Anyway, all right, tangent over.
All right, well, let's move on to our final superlative here. I'm calling this the Dominic Abate Award for most likely to hold a watch party with the most cast members. I feel like Dominic was holding watch parties all throughout the entire season last year that brought in a bunch of different people from the tri-state area. Liana, who are you thinking is going to... Again, we talked about how everyone sort of comes from five areas this season. Who's going to be the most likely to hold a party that brings together all their fellow Davids and Goliaths?
Yeah, I was actually thinking they're going to be competing watch parties from these different epicenters. For example, Mike White, maybe the LA rep. Jeremy, the New York rep. Lyrsa, the Boston rep. And then they're going to sort of come to blows, and then we're going to have an offshoot of Survivor, and it's going to be, you know, watch party, and then it'll be like, you know, five watch parties, one watch party. Again, I haven't thought it through, but that's my
very
idea.
Confusing syntax.
wait, all right, hold on.
Liana, okay, it's good that the sealed predictions every season don't revolve around theories like this, because I think Mike would actually beat you on that.
It's a very low bar.
I have an opportunity to rewrite them and not come up with them on the fly. But yes, so I think that there could be a serious competition for the most likely to hold the watch party with the most cast members.
I ended up going here with Angelina because she said that one of her hobbies was hosting margarita nights. I feel like that's a great excuse to get some people in to just, like, you know, sip on some drinks and watch some Survivor.
Mm. Yeah, good call.
I should do the same thing for my prediction.
Yeah, because I have host a margarita night by yourself. Five predictions, one prediction, and then you just ride through the night.
Right. Actually, I think Meg Z is supposed to come up with me, and we're going to drink margaritas and write predictions together. So I'll have to talk to her about that.
All right, Paul, what about you? Who's most likely to hold a watch party?
I think I'm going to shoehorn in the last contestant that we haven't talked about just because I want to talk about her. And I want to say Natalie because she's kind of a mother figure and she's going to be and she's wealthy probably and can throw a big party. And I just really like her. And I think she's a really interesting character and I can't wait to see what she does on the show.
Yeah, I had Natalie down as well for totally the same reason. Like, I could see her just have a bunch of like people over to her house or they have a big banger in a empty warehouse somewhere. But it is interesting that, like, yeah, I agree that Natalie might be one of the biggest characters coming into this season. But it's interesting that she didn't really fit many of the superlatives that we gave out to this cast.
Yeah, I think part of that, and I mean, I think she's super interesting, but she, you know, has a lot of things working against her. And I think somebody who is more likely to win a superlative is somebody who stays in the game for a little longer. Although I did think about putting her as least likely to flip because she would have no opportunity to flip. Now, that being said, I do hope that she goes deep. Do I think it's going to happen? Maybe not so much. But she is a badass and totally awesome. And I would totally go to a watch party that she hosted.
Yeah. And I also put her down for like a third, you know, place candidate for least likely to flip because she wants to be all about calling the shots. And I could see that, like, maybe by that logic, if you're calling the shots, you're not the one who's deciding to flip in that moment.
Yeah, exactly. And then sadly, she gets flipped on a pawn.
All right. Well, that'll do it for our superlatives. So we'll lock these away as well, and we'll revisit at the end of the season. But it's a nice way to sort of like parse our thoughts on the cast through these, you know, various towers that we created.
Yes, I'm very excited to see how poorly we all did.
And it only took 90 minutes to get through them all.
Hooray!
Much like the premiere episode.
Okay, so I actually, you know, I know we haven't played any games yet, but I really want to talk about this so badly. So we're going to continue this season with our sort of three questions segment, I guess, where each of us gets an opportunity to bring up something that we really want to talk about. And I really want to talk about this. How do we think this theme will impact gameplay? Now, I know that there's a lot of, oh, you know, the millennials Gen X is only important for the first, you know, like couple episodes, and then, you know, it wasn't a big deal. But I just got this sense from the way Jeff Probst was talking about it in First One Out. It seems like there might be some impact of this season. And I actually heard it described on, I think on Reddit, as the noble poor versus the privileged monsters, which really makes me laugh. So I'm just curious your thoughts on how, you know, how we think that this theme is going to impact the game.
What do you think?
Well, you know, this very early on back in Survivor Fiji at the Cook Islands finale, when Survivor Fiji was bubbling and people were talking about it, there was a lot of rumors at that time about if they were going to do something similar to this, because they said, oh, we have these two extremes. We have people like Dreams who are homeless. And then you have, you know, a Harvard educated lawyer and Alex. And so there was a lot of buzz about the time. And that season obviously went in a different direction where they had the haves and have nots. And it was more of not necessarily what anything to do with where they came from, but they were just kind of given those two roles of people who have it all and the people who have to, you know, fight hard on the island. So it's kind of funny that it took so long to get back to anything even close to this. And I think normally the themes really don't matter that too much. But like you said, Leon, I really think this is going to impact a lot of their psyches, because you're virtually telling half the people you're the underdogs that people are going to root for, and the other half you are the a-holes that people don't like.
See, it is. It's tribe a-hole.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting, because like the thing that I immediately draw comparisons to, and I did it on the podcast with Rob as well, is champions versus contenders. And I feel like maybe in the beginning of that, you know, there was a bit of an attitude of like, we are champions, we have to behave in a certain way. But again, spoiler alert for a bit down the line of champions versus contenders, that sort of went by the wayside a bit. So I have confidence that I think, sort of like millennials versus Gen X, this might bear fruit out in the beginning. Especially, I think there's going to be sort of a gathering around for the David tribe of like, look, we are the underdogs by default. We have to be the ones to beat them. Like, I think even the preview said something about like, you know, one tribe is used to winning it all. The other tribe are the underdogs. So I feel like that's like a nice thing to rally around. But I feel like the minute we get a swap, I think that once the game becomes much more individualized, I think those monikers, I mean, quite literally, are probably going to go out the window. Because then it gets confused if you have David's on a Goliath tribe. But I think that mentally speaking, people are going to become more so like, it doesn't matter what I'm sort of representing or who I represent. I think I'm just going to make the move that's going to better my game.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I just can't imagine getting out there and being essentially told like, you know, and this is from the way Jeff Probst was talking about it, but the Goliaths are privilege. I don't know. I mean, I can't think of like another way to really describe it. It's like, yeah, you've worked hard, but like, you know, oh, come on. Like, you've gotten all of these benefits of life or something. I just can't imagine being out there and being told that and then having that not impact how I play the game. I mean, maybe, you know, as like you said, Mike, as the game goes on, it won't be a big deal. But at least initially, my God, I mean, if I were somebody who was in the Goliath tribe, I'd probably pull an Allison and, you know, maybe be somebody who, you know, was going to flip to the Davids on purpose because I don't want to be associated with the Goliaths.
Well, it could be like a horseshoe as well, where it's really important in the beginning, not important in the middle, but then once the end comes around, because I guess you could also ask the question, you know, on paper, could a Goliath win Survivor? Considering that, like, if someone has sort of been built out with this stigma, which Mike Wyke is purposely going to lean into of like, hey, I come from this power position of power already. I don't necessarily need the money and the title. Do you think that a jury, depending on the makeup, would necessarily honor that just at the outset, looking on where they came from?
Well, I mean, I think we so often talk in reality television about the underdog, and how often is it like rooted for the underdog? You know, we want an underdog to win. And I feel like the Davids are inherently underdogs. So like, how does that not impact how people view them? And, you know, yes, maybe you have sort of this reverse strategy where it's like, oh, okay, well, all the Goliaths have to stick together because we're all privileged, you know, and like nobody can let a David get to the end, which I guess is par for the course, I think, some, you know, in terms of like other seasons, but to just have it hammered home like so much at the beginning, I thought was really interesting.
All right, well, let's get into this next game here. So CBS did things a bit differently with their pregame press. We did not get the traditional meet the cast videos. We got sort of Jeff Probst's perceptions on each of the tribes, but what the Survivor Twitter account did was they released every day like 50 second to a minute long clips introducing the players. And we got a couple of other miscellaneous videos as well, like who is your Survivor role model? How do you feel you would deal without food or sleep? So I pulled a couple of quotes from these videos. And Paul, Liana, you two are going to face off against each other to figure out who knows this cast the best. Here's how it's going to work. One at a time, I'm going to read you a quote from one of these videos. And you are going to guess the person who said that quote. Now, we're going to do this using Twitch rules. So if you just guess without any sort of hint, you get 2 points if you're correct. If you want to ask for a hint, I can provide you the tribe that they're on, either a David or a Goliath. And if you get it right, you only get 1 point. So you can take the bigger risk if you think you know the person, or if you want to play it safe and find out what tribe they're on, you can do that at the sacrifice of 1 point. At the end of these sets of questions, whoever has the most points wins. Now, have either one of you checked out these Twitter videos before we get into it?
Well, we know Paul hasn't because he doesn't have a phone.
Pretty in the dark.
Right, literally. And in my lack of preparing, the answer is no.
All right, and I'm really nervous because Liana's really good at games, so.
Like, this is the Paul loses game.
Yes, let's see if that moniker holds. Paul, let's start with you here. So again, I'm going to read a quote off here from a video. For 2 points, you can guess the person without any sort of hint, or for 1 point, you can get a hint as to what tribe they're on. Here's the quote.
Okay.
When it sucks and it's raining, I want to be the guy that everybody's like, oh, he's making it fun. He's embracing the suck.
I'll take the tribe, please.
A Goliath.
Okay, who is going to embrace the suck? I am going to say, ooh, who would be embracing the suck? Maybe this is Mike saying he's going to be entertaining to them. I'll go with Mike.
I'm sorry, the correct answer was Dan. The Goliath in bloom is ready to embrace the suck in true full bloom fashion.
No, that would have been my my fifth choice out of five. So no chance on that one.
Hashtag embrace the suck.
It writes itself. All right, Liana, let's go over to you here. What my tribe mates will think is the most endearing thing about me will probably be the most annoying thing about me is that I do laugh at everything.
You know what? I'll take the hint. David or Goliath tribe.
Goliath.
I think it's Kara.
That is correct. Your pick for the purple, Nara, said that she is, it's a double-edged sword that she laughs at literally everything.
Literally everything. That's going to be an interesting challenge. Let's see.
I think it'll just be, I don't know, maybe she won't get a purple edit then. It'll be really hard to cut around her just consistently chuckling at everything going on.
They should put her in the audience for all of those shows that need laugh tracks. Like, Kara's just the permanent resident of, like, The Big Bang Theory and Young Sheldon or whatever other shows that have laugh tracks.
Yeah, she might be out of a job with that first one very soon.
That's right. Oh, the last season, guys.
All right, so Liana is ahead 1-0. Let's go back to Paul here. I think my smile's pretty contagious. I think people are already attracted to that. When you smile at someone from the inner parts of your soul, they just can't hardly help but smile back.
Oh, God. Okay, what tribe?
David.
Okay, David with an infectious smile. Okay, it needs to be someone self-aware enough that says, like, my smile is awesome. So, let's say Elizabeth.
That is correct. Elizabeth Olsen with the infectious smile.
Okay. All right.
What happens if the inner parts of your soul are very black? Does it have the same infectious attitude?
Then you get sent to prison and your mom reaches out to Bradley.
You remind me
and
of my
Kara
mom.
Laughs.
Yeah, I bet you maybe Kara is that person who like comments lol on like every status even when it's not appropriate.
Right, exactly. Like, Kara, stop.
But I'm literally lolling. All right, we are tied up here. Let's go back to you, Liana. Being food and sleep deprived is going to really affect me. I faint easily, so I mean, I might be one of those players that faints the first day.
Ooh. Okay. I don't know. Can I have a hint?
Goliath.
Okay. I might faint the first day. I'm going to guess Jeremy.
Liana, you should have gone with literally every other answer to your superlative. The answer is Natalia.
Oh, of course it was. Oh, see, I should have just answered her for everything. Ugh.
So we might need to retroactively go back and put her in for most likely to get medevac. She might pull a Boston Rob and pass out the first day.
Right.
So right, we're tied now, right?
Yes, and I'm very happy we are because I have a tie-breaking round set up here. Here's how it's going to work. As I mentioned before, there was a video that went up where the players went through their survivor role models. We're going to go rapid fire here, back and forth. I'm going to give you the name of the former player. You're going to give me the name of the current player who said that this person was their role model. So, for example, if I said Jay Starrett, you would say Alec. Make sense?
Oh, I would have known that one.
Boy. All right.
All right. Let's start with you, Liana. Sandra.
Crap. I know, really, Elizabeth.
Incorrect. The answer is incorrect. Jeremy. Paul. Ty.
Be yourself. Be.
That is correct. Love the hashtag. Liana. Adam Klein.
Alec.
That is incorrect. I would have accepted Kara or Nick. Paul. Parvati.
Angelina?
Incorrect. Mike White. Liana, Suri Fields.
What? Natalie?
Incorrect. Christian. Paul. Andrea Belke.
Andrea Belke. Kara.
Incorrect. Allison. Liana, Boston Rob.
Natalia.
Incorrect. Natalie. Paul. Cochran.
How?
What is even happening? Cochran. Christian?
Incorrect. John Hennigan. So that was a fun round. But Paul, you got one right, so you win this game.
Yay!
Oh, that's right.
I wanted to put that in there just because there are some pretty fun picks in there, like Mike picking Parvati. And
yeah, I like that. I think that's my favorite. I think Mike's is my favorite. The fact that he picked Parvati.
His Parvati.
His role model.
I love
it's almost like he did it just to like troll, like, because everyone says they're like Parvati.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, right. I love that, like, everyone says, oh, too many people say that they're, like, Parvati. But I think Mike White might be the most unconventional person to say that Parvati is their survivor role model, specifically because he said she was a cunning little vixen.
Hey, you know what? Maybe that's just what he aspires to be. Good for him. You go, Mike White.
Absolutely. We'll see if his flirtation strategy works here as well. But that'll hopefully let you get to know the cast a bit more. I think still a couple more Twitter videos have to get released before the premiere. But congratulations to Paul for being able to eke out a victory here.
Thank you. Thank you.
And overthrowing it's no longer the Paul loses game.
Yeah, Liana loser game. That makes more sense.
Well, Paul, as the winner, what question did you have to prepare to bring to this discussion?
Okay, the one thing I want to jump in to talk a little bit about what are the format expectations we have for the season? Like, is it just given now these tribes are going to go into three at some point? Are we still going to have a big merge? How early are we going to swap the tribes? I know a lot of this is just pure speculation, but where do you think we are in Survivor in terms of what is a given for format?
I mean, I definitely think we're going to get, two swaps pre-merge. I think we're probably going to get, and this is complete speculation. This is based in nothing except for my own musings. So I think we're going to get a swap, and then I think we're going to go to three tribes. Then we're going to go to merge, and then it's merge.
So you're thinking like a ghost island.
Yeah, it's recency bias, right? I mean, I think that you have a tendency to stick with trends. I mean, maybe millennials, Gen X, not to, think about how much an impact that has, spoiler, but yes, I don't know. I think Ghost Island.
Yeah, I was thinking millennials versus Gen X personally, because I think that like that's the last big versus where it was two tribes against each other and where the theme was so ingrained from the start. You could say what you want to about Triple H, but I feel like they sort of dropped really talking about that in the beginning, whereas I really do feel like it's going to be David versus Goliath. It's going to be at least at the tip of Jeff's tongue for those first few episodes. So that's why I know when I talked on Rob's podcast about how they're going to swap in episode like 4 or 5, people thought that was too soon. But I don't know. I know there's 20 people, but I feel like they're going to want to hang out in these tribes for a bit. So I'm thinking a swap maybe in episode 5, but I could see them going to the three tribes where one tribe just gets one more person. They do sort of what they did with Ikabula, where it's like you get one more person, but you don't get any supplies. And that tribe's probably just going to win everything like they always do.
Yeah, I think you're probably right in that, Mike. I just hope I would like to just go a season without doing the three tribes just so it's not a given every season. I just think we need to keep the contestants on our toes, have us be on our toes and not know if it's going to go to three tribes or not. But I think that's definitely a fair assumption for the season that they're going to need at least 4 episodes to really build the tension between the two tribes. I know that's tension, something that you talked about too, in your podcast with Rob, about how it's going to be fun to have kind of these antagonistic sides going at it.
Well, I think that it's interesting that you talk about keeping them on their toes, because I mean, they hadn't really seen Ghost Island up to that point. So even if they follow the exact format that Ghost Island did, they wouldn't necessarily suspect it. The most recent one they saw was like Game Changers, where they went from 2 to 3 back to 2. So maybe they would suspect that instead of 2 to 2 to 3.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. In terms of like keeping players on their toes, like if it's a swap, I think sort of regardless of the format, like you never know what you're going to get. I think for me, the biggest thing about having three tribes is just the fact that the numbers are so low and, you know, you really don't have a place to hide, which I guess is maybe the exciting part of it. But I think you increase the likelihood that somebody gets swap screwed. And I really don't like that just in general. So I'd be okay with that not happening. But, you know, I can definitely see the three tribe thing happening sort of millennials Gen X style at episode 5.
Well, one question I do have, though, is something bringing over from Ghost Island. Do we think we're going to see the return of the like double tribal council in the mid merge where they split the players up into two tribes? Because if not, then they're probably going to have to do one of those other hurry up penultimate episodes where they eliminate 2 people in 1 episode, right? Assuming that we're going to merge at 13 like we usually do with 20.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think I was trying to think if there was any sort of indication of the format from Probst so far. I don't think there has been. Right.
Yeah, I know. I don't necessarily think so. What do you think, Paul? Do you think that, you know, they would take some of these, not even that type of format in the pre-merge, but like some of these other post-merge things that are going to shake things up? Obviously, the fire-making twist is going to stay, but anything else you feel like is going to get brought over from previous seasons into this one?
Yeah, I know. I was thinking more about the pre-merge stuff, how we're going to get to that merge. And then I think if we go in with a big, huge merge again, that they're going to have to recycle some of those things from this past few seasons. So we'll see. I've always been an advocate of, I don't think we always need to merge them at such a huge number, because I think then that long stretch of the merge can just be a little bit too long, and you don't get to know the characters or the strategy. You don't understand it quite as much, because there's just so many people still in the game. So we'll be interested. I'm hopeful to see that maybe that they'll have a little more confidence in the pre-game, the pre-merge season, and that maybe that'll go an extra week or two. So we'll just have to see.
Mm. Okay, well, stepping away from some of the format discussions, I would like to move into one of my favorite segments, because our preseason would not be complete if we did not check in with the casuals over in Casuals Corner. So this is the Woo-hoo! Next game. Yes, yes.
Can we call it the hashtag BBCC? Like B-I-B-I, then like CC from... Millennials versus Gen X.
Ooh, right. That's a power alliance for next All-Star season.
BBCC. Yes, well, and then we can find out what the casuals think of the BBCC. But for now, we will stick with their opinions on Survivor David versus Goliath. So what I've done is I've gone to the Survivor Facebook page, and I have pulled comments that have been written by people on the Facebook page. So we will go back and forth, and I will read four statements. Three of them were pulled from the Survivor Facebook page, and one of them was written by me. So it is up to you to pick out which one was written by me. Okay, let's get started. So, Mike, this first question is for you, and it's just generally Survivor casual thoughts about the season. A, where is Kevin Hart? B, Jeff Probst is like a Benjamin Button. C, what about a shearing countdown? Or better still, countdown to lamb roast?
What?
Or D, does anyone know where the website is that shows uncensored nip slips from Survivor?
Oh, God. I know. I don't want D to be real, but I know it's real. Because not only the fact that someone would want to seek that content out, but they would go onto the Facebook page of the show to solicit for that content. I have no idea what the shearing or the lamb roast would be in response to, because I think, like, was there some sort of, I don't know, like sheep reference being made in the post that they had them respond to?
I can't give hints, Mike.
All right. So that one's nonsensical. So it has to be real. So it's between Kevin Hart and Probst is like a Benjamin Button. I feel like you wrote, where is Kevin Hart?
That is incorrect. Where is Kevin Hart was an actual comment. No, the one that I wrote was Jeff Probst is like a Benjamin Button.
I was so close.
So close. Yes, I don't know what the shearing countdown, or better still, countdown to lamb roast was in reference to. It was just a general comment about, like, is everybody excited for the new season of Survivor?
Did this guy have a lamb roast that he wanted to publicize to all the Survivor fans? Like, hey guys, I'm having a lamb roast if you want to come down in 3 days.
That's a new version of the watch party. We're going to have a lamb roast.
Sandra's invited. She's the main person. She's turning the spit and everything.
Well, and also I was thinking a shearing countdown. Is that like shearing sheep? Is that a competition? I wasn't quite sure. But yes, it was nonsensical. So of course it's real. All right, Paul, this question is for you. Also, general thoughts about Survivor. A, when Jeff says Survivor's ready, is that a question or a command? B, are you ready? That laughing at the end was me, not the comment.
C, Kara laughing.
Yes, I think Kara wrote that one.
Yeah. See, my granddaughter and I watch it and eat beef jerky. We love it. Or D, which one of them is the David?
I think Kel Gleason wrote C, personally.
I think
yeah. I don't think grandmas are watching this and eating beef jerky. You wrote that one.
That one is real. Apparently, a woman and her granddaughter watch it and eat beef jerky. No, which one of them is the David? That was the comment that I wrote. I know. I do like the question, though. When Jeff says Survivor's ready, is that a question or a command? I think that's something to continue to ponder. Okay, Mike, this next question is for you. So there were some posts that were specific about different players. So these were comments on a post about Dan, whom one commenter said looks like Fessy's younger brother Brother 20.
He's been utilizing Fessy Fitness, connecting with other gym bros, and that was how he was able to lose the weight so much.
Exactly. Good for him. Okay, so A, I read that as, quote, closet nerd, as in someone who really likes closets. Can he come organize my closet sometime? Laugh, cry, face emoji, laugh, cry, face emoji, laugh, cry, face emoji.
Okay, Kara, we get it. You're using several different accounts, knowing that what your NDA forbade you from doing to try to respond to these posts.
Yes. B, what is the name of the new merge tribe? Please reply to me ASAP.
Okay. Didn't understand the urgency in that one, considering that the season and not even the lamb roast has begun yet.
ASAP, Mike. Okay, C. When does this season air? I've been needing a big dose of Mr. D. Heart face emoji.
No.
Oh, B&B in full effect.
Or D. One look at him, and I think I hurricane.
Oh, God.
B&B starts now.
No! No!
You're welcome.
Oh my God, that is there's so many things that are running through my mind right now when it comes to hurricanes. Category 5 thoughts, but I'm going to subsist it down to like a tropical storm. All right, let's think here. I don't know, hurricane sounds like something that you would write, so I'm gonna keep it in contention right now. Mr. D, such a weird way to refer to him. I feel like you might have written that as well. All right, let's see. A. B, I think, is real. I think someone wants to know the merge tribe for some strange reason. Maybe they're trying to print their own buffs and they need that information ASAP. What was A again?
I read that as, quote, closet nerd, as in someone who really likes closets. He can come organize my closet anytime. Cry face emoji, cry face emoji, cry face emoji.
Absolutely. I think that it reminds me of like that SNL sketch where Will Forte is the closet organizer, where he's wearing like a mocap suit and they're throwing things at him. That could be Dan. I feel like it's between C and D. Oh, God, I want Hurricane to be a thing. I'm going to say Mr. D is not the real one.
That one was real. The one that I wrote was one look at him. I think I Hurricane.
Oh, it was so close again.
Oh man, I wouldn't
be proud of yourself on that one, Liana.
Oh, I'm so proud. I thought of that late last night and I couldn't stop laughing at myself. It's so bad. Also, fun fact, B was real and somebody answered Boom Boom Magoo. So if that's the name of the new merge tribe, we owe that person.
It's named after, unfortunately, Christian and Mike, who got medevaced because they walked into a tree for not being able to see Boom Boom Magoo.
Boom Boom Magoo. It's part of the See Angela Play Survivor game or book. Okay, Paul, this next question is for you. And these were comments all about Davey. So, A.
Okay.
I have him at the work pool. Go, Davey.
What?
B.
Oh, work pool. Okay, got it. I'm thinking like a swimming pool. I was like, what? Oh, okay. Got it.
Keep him at my work pool. B. WTF is a blurred. C. I'm not from a third world country, so I don't care about polio.
Okay. All right. Now that makes sense, because in his video, he said that one of his like initiatives he worked toward was eradicating polio.
Yeah, I didn't watch the video, and I was like, okay. Oh, well. Or D. D.
Like HM?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they
this
meant to
so
say
funny.
Him.
This is like, okay, this is like, it's kind of weird with this one, okay, because in my, like, the pool that I do with, like, that I've done forever with, and it's mostly like my mom and her, like, her colleagues at work and stuff, my mom has Davey in the work pool. So that's kind of weird.
And your mom is a casual, right?
Yes. And then she also, like, her signature thing is if she's not impressed by something, she unknowingly just always goes, And so we always say that. So that's kind of weird. So I feel like there's some signs in the universe here. And then the polio one, I think that definitely happened. So I think the second one is the one you wrote.
It was actually, I'm not from a third world country, so I don't care about polio.
You wrote that?
I did write that. Someone else did, I will say, so I don't know if this is cheating, but they said, polio? So that was how I got the idea. I actually did watch his video and wrote that one. Okay. But that was a good guess. All right. Next question is about Kara, and this is for Mike. A, Dom got robbed. B, what NFL team was she a cheerleader on? My guess, the Pittsburgh Steelers, .. I don't think it was my New England Patriots. They have more class than that.
Oof.
C, too blonde. Or D, arg.
I love these like onomatopoeias. So I feel like arg is a thing. Too blonde definitely sounds like the casuals that sometimes like to pick apart Survivor contestants' appearance. Also, she is not too blonde. What does that mean? She's not a Targaryen. So it's between, let's see, it's between what team is she a cheerleader for? Hopefully not my New England Patriots. Or what was A again?
Dom got robbed.
Ooh, I want to say you wrote Dom got robbed.
No, I wrote too blonde, which now I'm a little terrified because I think I'm learning the casuals now.
I think this is like the Turing test where like now you have become part of the casual hive mind.
This is why all my takes are trash. Okay, so we are still tied 0-0. Paul, this question is for you, and this is about our favorite Alec.
Okay. I thought you were going to say Natalia.
Natalia. No, I don't even think her video is posted yet.
Yeah, shocker. Shocker.
Shocker.
Don't need a phone to know that.
Yes. Okay. A. Like, ha, dude. Like, ha, .. You're going to lose. B. Dom got robbed. C. Jam a fork in my forehead, please. Or
what?
D. # douchebag.
Ooh.
Douchebag? Like, how do they spell it?
D-O-U-C-H bag.
I thought maybe they were trying to say Deutsch bag.
Douchebag.
I think you did the jamming the fork.
No. I wrote Dom got robbed.
you tricked him.
I know.
I was wondering if there was one person consistently posting Dom got robbed on every single post on Facebook.
Mike, you're actually onto something, because the answer to that is yes. There is one person, as I was going through all these posts, I was like, who keeps posting Dom got robbed on every single post? The same person, but this person had a little bit more variation in some of the posts. They had a little bit more creativity on some people's posts, and they had very specific comments about Dom getting robbed. So these next two questions, your job is to actually guess the contestant, similar, Mike, to the game that we played earlier. You have to guess the contestant on whose post this was a comment. Ooh, is that English?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be basically a shot in the dark, more so than it was previously for these other questions. So I'm excited for it.
I think some of these. Yeah. All right. So let's just go ahead and play. Mike, this question is for you. The quote, the comment was, attorney, maybe he can help Dom sue for getting robbed.
I mean, that has to be Jeremy.
Okay, well, I was going to give you multiple choice, but yes, that is correct. It is Jeremy. The other options were Nick, Angelina, or Bradley. Okay, Paul, this question is for you. Quote,
okay.
Hopefully she's smart enough to not get robbed like Dom did. A, Natalia. B, Allison. C, Gabby. Or D, Natalie.
I gotta go with Natalia, right? It's gotta be her.
Oh, I wish this were the case, but no, it was Gabby.
Yeah, didn't you say that Natalia wasn't posted yet? So
yeah, her video was not posted.
Oh, damn it! Oh, yes. God, she's... Mm.
So some of the other comments include, maybe she can cook up a scheme to not get robbed like Dom. That was a dream come true for Dom until he got robbed. Anyway, so these continue on and on. The same person. So, yes, make a shirt that says Dom got robbed. I'll buy it. Team Dom got robbed. Boycott. They screwed Dom and screwed the show. So this one person really thinks Dom got robbed.
Wait, did someone post and make a T-shirt that says Dom got robbed and I'll wear it?
And I'll buy it. Yep.
Wow. Johnny Fairplay, I hope you're listening.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Capitalize on this one guy. The other comment that I did think was pretty funny was about John. I didn't have enough to pull a question on him, but somebody said he has a lady's top on, period, question mark. So okay. I thought that was fun.
Well, punctuation.
Does he have a lady's top on?
I
Survivor's
don't know.
Ready?
Survivor's ready, period, question mark. All right. Well, congratulations, Mike. You are the winner of Casuals Corner with 1 point. I'm excited to see how the casuals change their opinions on everyone. They seem to really love Dan and were lukewarm on literally everyone else.
Yes, lukewarm. I will not say anything about hurricanes based on that. And of course, we'll see if they still feel that Dom got robbed several weeks in.
That's right. Yes. Well, that hurricane flooded my basement. So.
Oh, boy. Let's move
on.
Well, speaking of seasons that had inclement weather, I want to bring something up here. Is Millennials versus Gen X the most influential season in recent memory? The reason why I ask that is because it feels like from multiple sides that might be the case. I know in talking in First One Out, I hear a lot about how people were like inspired to apply because of Millennials versus Gen X. You have someone like Angelina, who's directly connected through Adam. Alec talks about, like, you know, he'd been watching the show for years and then finally watching someone like Jay. You also have, you know, production pulling this sort of versus one tribe versus another theme. Because before that, I mean, I'm thinking about like tribes that were 20 people all new, two tribes. The last time was what, Nicaragua? That happened before we got the stretch of 18 person seasons. So the fact that we kept going back to this between like Ghost Island and now this, three seasons out of the last five or so, I feel like the show was really happy and the audience was really happy with Millennials versus Gen X, that it's not only encouraged people to apply for the show, but also encouraged the show to maybe, you know, slide into that direction in terms of its theming and the way it runs things. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, so people have been mentioning Millennials, Gen X, I think now for the past few seasons. We see a pop up here and there. But yeah, like you said, Mike, it really just everyone seemed to be talking Millennials, Gen X. Now, I don't know if this is a just sort of the Survivor sort of cyclic behavior where it's like, OK, Millennials, Gen X was, you know, an all new player season. It was recent enough, but wasn't too recent, right? So, you know, this cast can't really pull on Heroes, Healers, Hustlers or Ghost Island just because there's not enough time, you know, the way that the seasons are filmed to sort of really take in those seasons and have them impact the application process and impact a lot of the people that end up coming to play the game. But I will say that it doesn't seem to be coming from just the contestants. It's also from, you know, it seems like Jeff Probst, the way that the season is structured. So I have to believe that just because it was such a successful season, that it does seem to be having some lasting impacts on pretty much every facet of the show at this point.
Paul, well, I think just with the characters on it, you know, Rob always goes back to that Millennials tribe and just kind of how epic they were. I just think it's a season that production was happy with. They were happy with the way things played out, and you can just point to so many different characters on that season and just relate them to characters that you want to be like or archetypes. So I think that I wouldn't be surprised if we saw for the next couple seasons still that this is kind of the go-to season to talk about new player seasons.
Yeah, and you know what? Say what you want to about Millennials versus Gen X. Obviously, opinions vary in the Survivor community, but I do feel like if you're looking for a relatively recent season that, you know, has characters, has a lot of flips being made and blindsides, and then also does not have, you know, big controversial endings like you might see with Ko Rong or Triple H, I really do feel like that inoffensiveness sort of has you turn towards Millennial versus Gen X. Also the fact that, you know, that was the first season to, you know, have be in Fiji since the eponymous Survivor Fiji. And so that's sort of where they are from there on out. So it sort of makes sense that, you know, that was the show's flagship return to Fiji, and the way it carried out, they're like, okay, now that things are based in Fiji, we're going to start running things a bit more like we did back during Millennials versus Gen X, because we have the same territory and we know what to do with it.
Yeah, I actually think that's a good point. So I was trying to think of another season that could, like if it's not millennials, Gen X, what could it be? And Ko Rong was the first one that popped into my mind. But yeah, because of sort of the controversial ending, you know, that one sort of not taints the rest of the season. But I think, you know, when people think of Ko Rong, that's what they think of. And they kind of ignore the rest of the season, which was pretty amazing. I mean, I really, really like Ko Rong as a season. And so that's why it's sort of forgotten. And then other than that, you know, the other seasons that really stand out are like Second Chances, but that's a returning player season. And so it's sort of viewed differently.
Mm-hmm. So we shall see how closely this hews to millennials versus Gen X. But I just thought it was an interesting comparison considering, like you said, Leon, it really did feel like that was like the season topic of conversation as people were talking with Josh. And that's going to bring us to our final segment of each and every week here on the BNB, the question of the week. If this is your first time tuning into the BNB, first off, I hope you enjoyed the malarkey we put out. But basically what we do at the end of every week is that we put out a question of the week that you listeners can answer. You'll send us your answers and we'll read them on the air next week. The question for this week is, if you were playing Survivor, what would you put as your claim to fame? The reason why I ask this is because these survivors have some rather interesting claims to fame, and they range, you know, from the obviously big points in their life, you know, being part of the family or raising a family, etc., to, you know, Davey's entire diatribe about how, you know, he runs all these social media accounts and people recognize him by his handle. Allison's biggest one was winning a fifth grade spelling bee. So I'll be intrigued to hear from all of you what your claim to fame is. Paul, would you say that being a podcast Goliath is yours, or a chump stain?
It'd be being the head writer on the B&B. I mean, what else? What other answers are there?
Yeah.
What I like about this is it's sort of, and this will probably only apply to like people in our generation, only 90s kids will get this. The claim to fame reminds me a bit of, do you guys remember the show Figure It Out on Nickelodeon?
Yes, I do remember. I don't think I I can't
remember it totally, but I remember it existing.
So it's a show, I think it's like similar, the modern equivalent of, I think the show is called like What's My Line, the old game show, where, you know, this kid comes in who like has this this quality about them, and it's up to the panel to sort of fill in the blanks on Billy the Answer Head. It sort of feels like the claim to fame is that. Like, you know, oh, I jump rope with my sister's braids. Or my favorite is my dog eats cereal out of my belly button, which again, like, that's not your talent, dude, but okay, you won the Huffy bike anyway. I feel like the claim to fame has slowly become that, where people are like, here's my fun talent that I can do.
Oh, they should totally revive that show. My favorite part was when they had the conveyor belt and the clues would like roll out on the conveyor belt and then people would get slimed for getting it wrong. Yes. Oh, man. See, who needs Murphy Brown? We need a reboot of this show.
I actually think they did do a reboot that did not work. I do remember the secret slime action, which was like, if you did something, you got slimed. And again, maybe the unfair producers were like, secret slime action is being Shaquille O'Neal. And so as soon as like the round started, they just slimed them. So we can go into many more tangents, Figure It Out related or otherwise, in later weeks on the B&B. So your question this week, if you played Survivor, what would be your claim to fame in any sort of capacity? You have a bunch of ways you can reach out to us with that information. You can always leave a comment on this post on rothhasawebsite.com. You can reach out to us on Twitter using the hashtag RHAPBNB, the letter B, the letter N, the letter B. You can always respond to the post in the Rob Has a Patron group. You can also respond to this question if you have a longer response, or if you want to send us game ideas, you can always reach out to RHAPBNB@gmail.com. We're always receptive to ideas for new games and segments, as we'll be coming back week after week to talk through this season and to start off this coverage of David versus Goliath with the big 90-minute premiere. It's our one-year anniversary, Liana. It was, you know, only a year ago that we started the B&B. In our very first podcast, I made possibly the worst joke I've ever made, which is saying something considering my corniness. And I thought it was only fitting that we bring in the subject of that first horrible, horrible pun into the B&B to welcome us to Survivor 37. So the one and only Rourke Luskin from Survivor Heroes, Healers, Hustlers is going to be joining us next week to play through all of these games and segments about the premiere episode of Survivor DVG.
I am beyond excited. Just as I am excited for the season, we are going to put things in Rourke and we are going to roll all the way through the fun content from the season premiere. I really think it's going to be a blast.
Are you beyond, like, B-I-Y-O-N-D?
Hashtag beyond excited.
I'm going to die for the premiere. There actually is a hashtag with B in it.
Oh, please, Survivor gods, please.
Provide me a B hashtag.
Yes.
Let it be.
Be.
Oh, that's, you know what? What week do we think in the wand off someone's going to submit Let It Be?
Are you done?
Yeah, I was going to say, we got to stop giving people ideas.
Yeah, so we only give people ideas for their preseason predictions like Liana. So that being said, actually, a really nice segue. Make sure you're checking out all the great Survivor content that's going on RHAP as this season begins to ramp up between the know-it-alls, the recap, the feedback show, the wiggle room, and Why Blank Lost with David versus Goliath, Jessica Lewis. But thank you both for coming on and submitting yourself to trying to nail down quotes from these Twitter videos, diving into Casual's Corner. Liana, how can people follow you on social media as you are also beginning to finish up this season of Big Brother 20?
Yes. So I am on social media at Liana Boris. And like you said, Mike, we are finishing coverage of Big Brother. So I actually did my final Liana Saturday update as we were wrapping all of that up. But fear not, Mike, you and I will be back for our final episode of the RHAP BBBNB.
BIBIBIBI.
Yeah, it's BIBIBINBI. As we close things out with our final guest, Puya, to wrap up everything that went on in this crazy, very long season. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Paul, what about you?
This is about it you get from me for podcasting. You probably won't hear from me for a long time. So you may not want to delete this podcast. You may want to keep it for a rainy day.
Yeah, this might be it actually might be a podcast you want tattooed. But Paul, I do know that a couple of weeks ago, we got together with the Survivor historians and talked for over five hours about Survivor Samoa.
Yeah, that was kind of ridiculous. So yeah, you can find the Survivor historians out there, and we wrapped up Samoa, and it'll probably be about 5 years before we finish Heroes versus Villains, but I assume we're doing that at some time. So, but just don't get your hopes up.
Yeah, wait. Good things come to those who wait, I suppose. But it was really interesting. We got into a lot of silliness, but I think we also got into a very, you know, pretty serious talk about, you know, the whole Russell kerfuffle that happens at the end there, and how the community perceived it, etc. You can always follow Paul at Paul Oslison as well. You can follow me at a Mike Bloom type. You can check out the exit press I'm doing on Parade. I'm finishing up doing some Big Brother press. I just posted exit press with the fifth and fourth placer. I'll have exit press with the three finalists as well the day after the finale. And Survivor is going to be ramped up as well. So we'll also be talking on that Thursday too. The first one out of Survivor, David versus Goliath. About everything. Really excited to talk with this cast overall. I totally agree with you both. This is a really interesting group of people. And so I'm very excited to sort of just sit down with them and talk with them as both Survivor players and people. You can check out some of the other stuff I'm doing. I wrote a Hollywood Reporter piece recently about the rise of adult animation. I'm coming out with some pieces in the next couple days about the Tribeca TV Festival. There's always a lot going on. So be sure to check all that out. Thank you both so much for coming on. Paul, I cannot wait to be subjected to your games over the course of the season. Liana, I'm ready to take things to Slamtown and see where DVG is going to take us. Special thanks to Scott St. Pierre for editing everything behind the scenes. Will from America for our theme song. And of course, Rob Cesarnino for building this insane B&B for us to play in for the next 14 weeks or so. That's going to do it for this installment of the B&B. We'll be back next week with Rourke Luskin talking about the premiere. Until then, we'll check you out at your next stay.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. Better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P B&B. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. To your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name.